Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio, a special edition here in the Digital Ignition Studios. We welcome Mayor Jim Gilvin, Mayor of the City of Alpharetta. Mayor.
Hey, John, how are you today?
I'm great. It's great to have you here, as always, because you've been here before.
I have. Appreciate you having me back.
Good to have you here in the Digital Ignition Studio. And before we get to Mayor Gilvin, I want to remind everyone that Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000-square-foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desk, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, just about anything you would want, and all the fresh ground coffee you can drink to go on top of that. So if you want great co-working as well as space which impresses investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com. Yeah, before we came on air, we were talking about co-working spaces. So we'll get to that here in a little bit.
Absolutely.
When we get to talk about some of the environment for small business. But you had your State of the City address last week as we do this show, and we thought it'd be fun to do a podcast version of the State of the City and talk a little bit about some of the issues that you raised. So thanks for joining us and doing that, Mayor Gilvin.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So one of the things that the themes of your address that I thought I took away anyway was that, maybe to use a sports analogy, that it's one thing to win one Super Bowl, it's a whole nother thing to put together a dynasty, right? So we've seen that. We've been on the losing end of that from Atlanta's point of view, but the Patriots are in the middle of that dynasty, it seems, right now. And that's hard to maintain over a period of years. And I think that was the point, really, of what you were talking about in your State of the City address, that it's one thing to do some of the things that have happened around this city that have been great, but maintaining that level of success is now the challenge.
It is. You know, it's interesting how people take different things away from a speech like that. So it's been fascinating to hear what people have taken out of it. But I do think that's one of the things that I did intend for, not necessarily in that context, but I wanted to make sure, because I've been here working and living in Alpharetta area for about 25 years now. And sometimes we're so caught up in what's going on now, and we forget to reflect on where we've been and how fortunate we are to live in this community, in this city, at this particular time. It really is, it's like a renaissance for this area. And not just Alpharetta, we're certainly a big part of it. And so that's one of the themes I did want to reiterate to people, is we're very fortunate now. We've got a lot going on, and I wanted to talk about what's going on and what we will be doing. But at the same time, just remember, 25 years ago, the city of Alpharetta was 17,000 people, mostly suburban neighborhoods with some large office complexes, a brand new shiny North Point Mall. And you know, the one thing that wasn't evolving at that point was downtown.
Sure.
And you know, it was the State of the City hosted by Alpharetta Business Association. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to remind people that it was groups like that that pulled together and actually changed this city into what we have.
Sure. Absolutely. And, you know, and I guess when you look at it from that perspective, I mean, at that point, as you mentioned in your speech, it was the Downtown Alpharetta Business Association. You know,
that's right.
Today we have now what's morphed into ABA, but we also have the Alpharetta Chamber of Commerce. So Alpharetta has grown to the point that it can support, you know, multiple business organizations, it would seem, right?
And they all have a niche.
Sure.
You know, downtown DABA,
yeah,
first was basically those small business owners and property owners downtown. It has evolved into ABA, and now they are a great networking organization citywide. The Alpharetta Chamber of Commerce evolved, I guess, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
right. Yeah.
And they filled a niche, but they were a much broader group of people.
Sure.
And incorporated a different networking opportunity and kind of filled a gap that was between the North Fulton Chamber, which is still a tremendous influence regionally all around North Fulton and all six cities up here. And they do a great job as well.
But sure.
Going back to when you were a smaller city of 17,000 people, and I didn't have any statistics on what our daytime population was back then. Couldn't find any. I don't know if they were available, and I just couldn't find them. But even though Alpharetta's grown to 70,000 people approximately now, daytime population, we're well over 100,000. And that's one of the things that people, most people don't appreciate, if they're even aware of it, is that at night we've got about 70,000 people that live here, sleep here. But during the day we import 50, 60, 70,000 people a day sometimes, depending on the events and the time of year and stuff like that. And so it's one of the things that makes us fortunate. We do have the amenities of a city of much larger size because our nighttime population is deceptively small. Mm-hmm. And the restaurants, the business organizations, the employers that we're left with when a lot of the workers go home are tremendous for the rest of us that still stay here.
Sure. Now, you talking about all that migration in and out of the city, obviously that brings up the subject of transportation. You can't have a State of the City address today without talking about transportation. So
right.
One of the things I think you touched on in your address is the different projects, and given the time frame to get some of that going and the competition for the bandwidth, if you will, of the construction industry, costs have gone up, right? So that's a problem.
It is. It's a great problem to have because finally we've got some money to spend. You know, for a long time, one of the reasons our infrastructure has lagged behind is there wasn't a dedicated revenue source for municipalities, at least, to address some of these larger transportation problems and projects. And with the T-SPLOST that passed a few years ago, we finally have a revenue stream at a local level to help us impact the congestion we're faced with every day. But as I kind of touched on during the State of the City, with that income, all the cities around are competing for the talent and businesses that can build the road projects, the engineers that can design them, and all the raw materials it takes. And so the costs have really shot up over the last 3 years. Projections for our T-SPLOST projects, some of them have skyrocketed, some because of the property values. When you have to acquire right-of-way, the costs of acquiring those extra 5 feet of sidewalk or something like that have gone up a lot. So we're facing some real difficult decisions in the short term, working with our staff right now on identifying the projects and prioritizing them so that we can start shoveling dirt on as many of them as soon as we can. And then once we get through with the top priorities of relieving the congestion, and some of those are like Old Milton Parkway, McGinnis Ferry Road, or regional east-west connections. So those are top priorities for us. We have to work with the DOT on both of those at this point, along with Forsyth County or local municipalities like Johns Creek in some cases. And it's going well, but there's not enough money to go around, even though there's a lot more money than there was 5 years ago. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge, and there'll be some growing pains over the next few years as a lot of these corridors are under construction. But the good news is in a few years, we should have been able to make a difference, and that'll be great for all of us because it's been long awaited around here.
Sure, but it's a moving target, right? I mean,
that,
you know, as the city continues to grow, continues to expand, and the areas around the city, as you mentioned, when you're importing your labor every day, not all of it, of course, but when you've got all these folks coming in every day to not just work but to shop, let's mention that. It's a continual issue that it's hard to stay ahead of.
Oh, it absolutely is. And like I said, unfortunately, we were playing catch-up for so long. I think right now we've got designs, we've got plans, we've got cooperative agreements that can make the difference and build potential capacity for future as well, especially when we talk about one of the major projects, not on a local level, but I did talk a little bit about the Georgia 400 Flex Lane project. And I talked in depth about that because it's been a huge thing for us on a local level. But I'm not sure a lot of people really have tuned in to the impact it will have on this community. You know, the Department of Transportation, as part of the interchange project down at 400 and 285, are planning to build four new lanes in the center of Georgia 400, toll lanes that will allow people to move at 45 miles an hour in the heart of rush hour. That's a game changer.
Sure.
For all of North Fulton. And it'll extend into Forsyth County. Currently, the plans are to do some improvements at Holcomb Bridge Road, which in and of itself would relieve some of the bottleneck. As you know, going from Mansell to Holcomb Bridge right now, there's a lane diet going from four to three lanes.
That's a good way to put it.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, that's an engineering term.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah.
A marketer must have come up with that one.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, it's really going to make a huge difference in North Fulton because as long as people can get from Windward Parkway to North Springs MARTA station in 10 minutes, everything changes up here because that's the challenge. Right now, as part of the Flex Lane project, it's a separate project, but they're also planning to incorporate bus rapid transit into that project. So they're separate projects, different funding mechanisms and all that, but it makes sense for them to design with both in mind at this time, and that's kind of what we're working through now. But if you can get on a bus rapid transit bus at Windward Parkway and be at North Springs in 10 minutes, that changes everything.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of discussion of whether we could have heavy rail up here or not, but the fact is heavy rail would never be able to get you from Windward Parkway to North Springs in 10 minutes because you can't have express trains. The cost is prohibitive. I remember having a discussion with Keith Parker when he was running MARTA, and to build additional lanes for an express train are just not feasible. But if you can hop on a bus and be down at North Springs in 10 minutes, you can hop on a train and be downtown in another 30.
Right. Well, for sure. For sure. And you don't have as – I'm not the expert here on this, but I would think for the bus rapid transit, you don't have as much real estate to acquire as you do for the heavy rail, which is also an issue, right? I mean, because you've got to build stations, you've got to do all that, you know, along the way, whereas if you're just – you've got one station in Windward, and you're already building the infrastructure on 400, you know, those four lanes that are going to accommodate that transit, you don't have that cost, right?
Well, and
Did I miss something there?
I'm not sure that you missed anything, but I'm not familiar enough with the engineering to know whether it takes less real estate. I would assume that is the case. What I do know is that they are proposing some bus rapid transit stations along the corridor.
Gotcha.
But they're more of like an inline station where it would stop, say, south of Encore Bridge at North Point, and then people would possibly walk over a fly bridge to the parking that would be adjacent to there, things like that. So I don't know. It's the real estate that would be as different as the train stations, but what would be different is the cost, for one.
Sure.
Because the cost, even the projections of the cost, heavy rail would be 10 times as expensive. So you're going from a project that is feasible now, which is close to being fundable at less than $300 million with the $182 million grant, things like that from the federal government, to a project that would be immensely expensive and a lot more difficult because you would have to involve federal money, and we could still be sitting here 15 years from now waiting for a train to be built into Alpharetta.
Sure.
One of the other advantages that most people aren't aware of the bus rapid transit is, as I mentioned before, we import people from all over the region into Alpharetta every day. Close to 60, 70,000 people are driving here primarily from Cherokee, you know, Gwinnett County, Forsyth County, Johns Creek, Milton, all around.
Sure.
We do not have a north-south problem only. Only about 25% of our commuters are going south on 400 and north on 400. And so when you build heavy rail, you have no way to help relieve that congestion because 75% of it isn't impacted at all, other than the fact that more people might be driving on the surface streets to get to the train station to go north and south on 400. So BRT does have the flexibility and is fiscally responsible enough that you could, if the operator were so inclined, go east-west to Johns Creek, to Gwinnett County. They could go pick up major employers in Duluth or up in South Forsyth.
Sure.
Things like that. So there are some advantages and flexibilities built into that system that we wouldn't be able to take advantage of if it were heavy rail.
We're speaking with the mayor of the city of Alpharetta, Jim Gilvin, here on Business Radio X. And, Jim, you mentioned North Point Mall 25 years ago being a shiny new development. You know, who would have thought when North Point Mall was that shiny new development that 25 years later we would be talking about a redevelopment or a reboot, maybe,
right,
of North Point Mall?
And that's one reason I wanted to bring it up.
Sure.
You know, it's nice to keep things in a historical perspective, mm-hmm, because as fantastic as Avalon has been for the city of Alpharetta, North Point was that catalyst back in the 90s. It was the regional place where people came from all around to spend a day and to go shopping. And so time changes everything. And we knew as a council back when we approved Avalon that it was going to have an impact on North Point. Even at that time, you could start to see some of the decline of malls in other areas around the metro Atlanta area. And we were cognizant of the impact it could have. And we tried to assess if there were ways we could protect some of the tenants at North Point. We're talking about the mayor and council that I served with back in 2012.
Sure.
And we were cognizant of all those impacts, but there was only so much we could do. We knew at the time that the demographics in this area were so powerful that someone was going to build an Avalon-like project. The market demanded it, and there was support for it. So our only question as a local government was, is the competitor for North Point going to be a mile down the road in Alpharetta, or will it be somewhere else? And will those people be going to Roswell or Johns Creek or South Forsyth? And so we made the right decision, I think, then. It's shown out in the proof of the success of Avalon and everything that spurred for us. But even then, we were already proactively thinking, okay, what's that going to do to North Point? How can we help the North Point property owners compete and evolve? And we're real excited about that. You know, for the past few years, our staff, who are just amazingly talented in working with people and property owners and developers to figure out how we can encourage as a local government the type of development that's going to be healthy for our community for decades to come. Because, you know, everything Alpharetta is today, somebody developed those properties and made it what it is, downtown, Avalon, the neighborhoods, the office complexes. The trick is, going back to what you were saying earlier, building a project is difficult and complex. But typically, the people who build those developments eventually move on.
Of course.
Either right. They sell it right away or they hold on to it for a while and it's bought by a real estate investment trust or something like that.
Right.
As a local government, we've got to be looking to the future. Because we're going to be here with that. The community, not necessarily me or you. But, you know, it's here to stay.
Right.
Avalon's not going anywhere anytime soon. And so as a local government, we've got to consider those impacts and look for it. And so we're excited to have a plan along North Point now that encourages those property owners to revisit what's really working in today's world. Fiscally, for them, financially, it has to make sense. But also in attracting people and building places that people want to be, that mix of uses, that walkability, that public space, real green space. And we're excited to see that Brookfield Properties, who bought North Point Mall last year, had approached us and was really proactive with their leadership and working to find something that was going to drive the redevelopment of that corridor and break up all of that asphalt, because parking was cheap back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they paid for that property, but I imagine they didn't pay more than five figures an acre and probably in the low five figures per acre. And so you could afford to just build a sea of parking lot and put the mall in the middle of it.
Right.
But now that property is extremely valuable, well into the six figures an acre. And so at that price, you can afford to build structured parking and give something people want that will attract them. And if you haven't had an opportunity to see the plan, we're excited about it. Mm-hmm. They're tearing down the old Sears building, breaking up that parking lot where everybody used to drive and park to go to Sears. They've got 2 to 4 acres of green space incorporated into a big lawn for
yep.
children and adults to play, you know, a climbing wall, interactive fountain. I believe there's 3 out parcels, freestanding restaurants there. And it's just going to have a tremendous public attraction for people that want to come and visit, spend some time, eat, shop, have fun, things like that. And we're excited about what it's going to do, kicking off the redevelopment of that entire corridor.
And it looks like there's some housing options for millennials in that, in this reboot, if we can call it that, that are much needed.
Absolutely. I mean, we're well aware. As someone who's watched the evolution of Avalon and seen what's been done in downtown Alpharetta and watch our staff creatively work with those property owners to make 2 outstanding projects, I think we're fortunate to have people experienced enough to take the lessons that have been learned on Avalon and CityCern and incorporate them into the next great thing for Alpharetta. And part of that has to be boots on the ground. You've got to have a housing component. We're very cognizant of the fact that we have to maintain a good balance of housing. We don't want to become a city where people, or the majority of people, just move into Alpharetta for a year or two and then they head out for somewhere else. We want it to be a place people want to live, to raise a family, to build a business, and they want to be vested in this community. So it's important to have the right housing mix, but I think we've kicked off the right product mix as far as housing on the North Point Corridor, because it does include 300 apartments. And for those of you that aren't familiar, in the parking lot over between Sears and Macy's, where that used to be. Mm. But it's a really good product. It's a little more affordable than, say, an Avalon or City Center and things like that. Still attractive. It's still got a lot of green space. It's not just a monolithic apartment building. And then there was another zoning decision that same night a couple of weeks ago that, back behind the Chipotle as you enter the mall from Hainsbridge Road there, I think it was about 80 units, 87 units or something like that, which is a much more palatable price point for most of them. It's also part of that Eco District product, so it's low impact. You know, I don't think it's LEED certified, but it's similar to that. They're incorporating a lot of green business processes and building processes in that, a lot of green space, detention ponds that are active parks and things like that. So it's exciting.
That's great stuff. We're speaking with Jim Gilvin. Jim's the mayor of Alpharetta, the city of Alpharetta. A lot going on here. So I want to take a detour, because I don't want this interview to end here without us covering this, because this is something that you mentioned, and I think it's important to, and I appreciate you doing this, because making this mention, because not everybody does it, but you really singled out your staff and the staff of the city of Alpharetta that works for everybody in Alpharetta. It's not just your staff. It's everybody's staff, right?
Absolutely. Can you imagine having 70,000 bosses?
I can't imagine that, but at all. God bless you for taking that on. But it's amazing to me the talent that exists in a city this size that has attracted the talent that's been there over a period of time. And, you know, I guess the folks that are maybe on the marquee get a lot of credit, you know, and that's appropriate. It's right. Also appropriate to give credit for those folks that have been in the trenches for a long period of time, and that is the staff that you mentioned.
You're absolutely right. And 2 quick points on that. One, all credit goes to Bob Regas, the city administrator for the city of Alpharetta. And you've met Bob.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Bob used to run Fulton County.
Mm-hmm.
He ran Fulton County when the Olympics were in the city of Atlanta.
Mm.
He is a tremendous asset and has been for two decades now. He just celebrated his 20th work anniversary with the city of Alpharetta. He's a talented man, and he's a great leader, but he also has a true gift for finding the right people. And I couldn't explain it to you. I've had the pleasure of watching over the last 8 years as we've attracted some amazing leadership in our director positions and some of our other associates. He's just got a gift for it, and he cares about it. And so the team that he has built, I'll stack up against anybody in the private sector. And it, I never would have believed that until I had a chance to work with him as an elected official. So thank you for mentioning that and noticing it.
Sure.
The other thing I'll say is I was talking to Bob the other day because it really struck me. Someone was talking about, you know, how tough it is to be mayor and things like that. And I was talking to two of our police officers at City Hall. And I said, you know, the truth is I've really been surprised because being mayor of Alpharetta for 9 months now or whatever, it hasn't been nearly as challenging as I thought. Because they do such a great job. You know, if you're in an organization where your leadership is constantly trying to put out fires and react to negative things and challenges in the environment, it's hard to work for the future.
Right.
And we're blessed. I'm blessed. My council members, they're all talented people, and our directors. But we are blessed to be in a position where our staff really get it. They work hard. They're dedicated to the public they serve. And they do such a great job of managing the day-to-day that we have the opportunity and the bandwidth to focus on things, looking to the future. What can we do to make sure North Point's not a problem in 10 years? That's not a gift many cities or many organizations in the private sector have.
For sure. But one of the things I think is interesting about your staff is that they are pretty humble, you know.
They
don't blow their own horn, and they just put their head down and get the job done.
They get it.
Yeah.
They just do.
For sure. So kudos to them, and kudos for you for giving them kudos, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about back on development and some of those issues that your staff has been working on, Kathy Cook, et cetera, City Center. So talk a little bit. You mentioned City Center in your address. Talk
right.
a little bit about where you see City Center and downtown Alpharetta generally.
Man, it's just so great to see what it's become. I know when Mayor Belisle took his role as mayor and really his primary concern was making sure we got downtown Alpharetta started and on track. And it's been far more successful than I think any of us could have imagined. You know, we begged back in 2012 to eventually have a parking problem downtown because we would say, oh, that's the kind of problems we wish we had.
Right. Now you got them, right?
We do. Yeah. And they are the great problems that you want to have. They're still problems. And we've still got to address them. We've got to continue to support the, I mean, City Center's just now really getting open. We still have a few restaurants and shops that haven't opened yet. So it's not even, the City Center part isn't open yet. But we've already got a new hotel that's supposed to be under construction on Milton Avenue this year. Got another office building on Old Roswell Street. So there's a lot going on downtown still. And we've got to continue to make sure that we support that next generation of evolution, because we've already attracted a lot of the energy and the visitors and the business owners. We've got small business owners that have been tremendously active and invested in downtown. And it's exciting to see because the energy is just overwhelming. We on council, we were joking the other day because Saturday, when we finally had some decent weather, and it wasn't raining and it wasn't 30 below, there were families and people just gathered all over the town green, and people were texting pictures. Hey, did you see this? And that's phenomenal, you know. And so we've got to continue to facilitate that as a city government. Right now we're building a garbage facility primarily because all the restaurants generate a tremendous amount of garbage, and the way it was being managed for the past decade or two just weren't sufficient anymore. So we've got that on the drawing board. Within weeks, we should have the new parking deck open. That's going to be huge. And don't forget, we're going to have a new STEM school, a magnet school in downtown Alpharetta in a year and a half. So we were meeting with Fulton County School System and Katie Reeves, our board commissioner in this area, working on that. So we have no intention of taking our eye off the ball downtown. We're fortunate to be in a position now where there's momentum. So it's more of, okay, let's give the private sector what they need, the support they need, and let them run with it because they're doing awesome right now.
For sure. Good stuff. And I guess that when you mentioned the garbage facility, that's what really triggered me in terms of, you know, there's probably not going to be a lot of people show up at the ribbon cutting for the garbage facility, right, as opposed to Avalon. But, I mean, you really need
You never know.
Well, that's true. Who knows? There might be a surge of interest in garbage.
I'm sure Diana will be there.
Yeah, for sure. People, it's easy to focus on, you know, the big high-profile developments. It's another thing to look underneath at what's needed to support this growth. And that's a good example right there.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and that leads into something else that I did talk about a little bit, and it's been very important for me as I work with our new economic development manager, Matthew Thomas, over the past few months, is we've been tremendously successful in attracting employers and large business offices and things like that over the past 6 or 7 years, and that's great. And now, while we'll continue those efforts looking for new people who want to invest in this community and build their businesses here, we're also going back to the basics of circling back with the people who make Alpharetta what it is today, the major employers, the major business investors, to make sure that we're letting them know we appreciate them being here. I go back to, you're right, the ribbon cutting, I call it not being sexy sometimes. It's like, you know, I still hear some of the critics of Alpharetta. Oh, well, you've got to do this because 6 years ago, a company with 400 employees moved to Midtown. And fair enough, they did. Mm-hmm. But you don't see them touting when an employer with 400 employees renews their lease here.
Right.
It doesn't make headlines, not generally, and if it does, people don't read it. But when you have a company that's been here with 400 employees for 20 years and they sign a long-term lease or they expand and go to 500, that's tremendous for us. And those are the people we need to appreciate. And so me and Matthew are taking our time now and circling back, having those conversations. Met with Primetals yesterday. Just find these companies, let them know. We had a great conversation with HP last week. Mm-hmm. You know, the things they're doing over in that building off of Wynnewood Parkway are tremendously, and they're fascinating. I mean, 3D printing and stuff like that. But we need to hear their concerns so that we can let them know what's coming forward. You know, we've got hotels to support these businesses. We've got new hotels on board, new Hilton being built on Wynnewood Parkway. We've got all of these transportation projects. They're going to relieve some of the congestion that foils their employees at times. So it is important for us to make sure we're still doing what Bob Regas calls the blocking and tackling. We don't want to take them for granted. We want them to know we're here for them when they need something. If they need to expand a parking lot, we want to help.
Sure.
Not just fill out this form so we can charge you a fee for a building permit or something like that.
For certain. So, Jim, talking about businesses, let's talk about the technology industry. So you mentioned Tech Alpharetta. And the fact that, I think not just Tech Alpharetta, the fact that there's a reason to have a Tech Alpharetta with 700 technology companies. So I don't think if you didn't have that network underneath it, there would be no reason to have it, right?
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah, for sure. So, and that network hopefully kind of feeds on itself, right, that it, in terms of its growth. And I think that's one of the things that you emphasized.
I think so. I can't take credit for that, really. I mean, that's just something that Mayor Bill Lyle began early on in his tenure as mayor. He realized that we had tremendous asset in the 600-plus, I think, technology businesses we had at the time, and realized that if that's our strength, let's play to our strength. And so he brought forward the idea of having a group of technology companies that could advise us on what we needed. Once again, proactive. What do we as a government need to be doing to make sure we're still a technology center 10, 20, 30 years down the road? And so that was the genesis of Tech Alpharetta. It's been tremendously successful because while we had 600-plus technology companies 6 or 8 years ago, nobody really knew that.
Right. Nobody counted.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, nobody really understood how critical the mass of technology companies in Alpharetta were until we started actually noting it. And
right.
It's like, wow, well, if we've got them all here, why are they here? And a lot of it's the infrastructure, the location, the quality of life. You know, the business climate is tremendous. And so as we started talking about how can we continue that, we brought a lot of those players into the room. What do we need to do? And they gave us some great ideas. Tech Alpharetta became one of theirs. It was to help people understand that we do have a healthy technology ecosystem, to help get the word out, to give them an opportunity to network together, to find talent together, and to start branding our technology community so that when a talented coder from Palo Alto or something like that gets a job offer, well, I'm not moving to some podunk area, you know, farmland or something like that. We want them to know this is an innovative ecosystem. You know, we've got great employers from all over the world that are coming here to build their businesses because we've got a great climate. We've got tremendous talent with all the engineering schools at Georgia Tech, Georgia State, Kennesaw, all over. It's an attractive place for young people to live. And when young people put down roots in the Atlanta metro area, Alpharetta becomes an attractive place for it. And we're making it even more so with developments like Avalon in the North Point corridor.
So talk a little bit more broadly about small business generally and the cost of doing business.
Right.
There's a lot of that you cannot control as a local official.
Right.
But there's some ways you can lean in on that. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, and we've been cognizant of that, especially for the last few years. You know, as we've become so successful in attracting people, there's more people who would like to live here in Alpharetta and do business in Alpharetta that may not be able to afford it, and that's a shame. So we do try, as a local government, the best thing we can do is try to get out of the way and allow innovators to come up with solutions for challenges like that. The space you're in right now, you know, it's not in the city of Alpharetta, but co-working spaces have been a great asset. When I first started going to it was called the Alpharetta Startup Circle, hosted by ATDC out of Georgia
right.
Tech,
mm-hmm.
which was also one of the genesis.
That's where you and I first met, right?
It was,
yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure.
and it was the genesis for the idea of the Startup Circle and the mm-hmm. Innovation Center and all of that.
Right.
But when I would go to those meetings, it was in Rome, which was the first facility like that I had seen north of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a new concept. And now there's several other of the co-working spaces, that kind of affordable office space for small business people. You've got insurance agents and mortgage brokers and tremendous talented, you know, graphic designers and things. So there are ways that as a municipal government we can encourage those types of zoning and then just try not to be punitive as far as the red tape and the costs and the fees and things like that. That's the biggest thing we can do on a local level, and we're always cognizant of that.
Right. Yeah, and I think, again, talking about how a lot of things around here have gone well beyond what we could have imagined a few, just even a few years ago. It's amazing how many co-working spaces there are in Alpharetta and how well they've been supported.
You're absolutely right. And you know what it tells me is going back to there were a lot of people who would love to do business in Alpharetta, but beforehand they couldn't afford to. If their only option was to go into an area that had cheaper rents or, you know, other reasons that it was more affordable. But when we presented them with options, they mm-hmm. wanted to be here. And right. I think we're attracting people that otherwise might have been in loft space in the old Fourth Ward or other parts of the Atlanta Metro and things like that. So it's exciting to see.
Okay, now there's been a little controversy, right, with the state legislature and a little bantering going on back right. and forth over the issue of 5G. And there's a, I guess you might call it a little legislative prelude going for 5G that's going on that seems to be winding its way through the state legislature right now. We're as we do this show, we're on crossover day, so we don't know how all that's going to turn out. But I guess the question is, for business owners, Alpharetta residents that read the headlines, don't understand, you know, all the details, of which there are many.
Right.
Tell them what part of this they need to care about.
For someone on the local level, I think the concern is that we spend as a local government millions and millions of dollars every year acquiring right-of-way and maintaining right-of-way, and that's to build roads, to allow sidewalks, to facilitate telephone poles and you know, things like that. And up to this point, there's been some general statewide rules about how municipalities can control those right-of-ways that our taxpayers own and that our local taxpayers maintain. But it was always done in a much more general way and allowed us some flexibility to control what that looks like and how that's done, because it differs greatly in the expectations and the needs and the requirements of a city like Metter, Georgia, or Cuthbert, Georgia, or a city like Roswell or Alpharetta. And so when the state tries to regulate something statewide, it should do so with a very light hand and allow city governments who are the closest to the people. We're the people who are elected by residents just in this 26-square-mile area of Alpharetta. That doesn't mean that people down at the state capitol aren't smart people and they don't have best interests in heart, but they don't talk to our people at the ballpark every day. If you live in Bainbridge and you're a state legislator or you're somewhere in South Georgia, the people you talk to have different needs, wants, and expectations.
Sure.
And so whenever possible, I always believe that local control is best. And the state legislators tend to believe that when it comes to the federal government telling them how to do things.
That's amazing how that works.
Isn't it, though?
Right.
You know, they have no problem with federalism, but when it comes to making statewide laws that impact our local communities, sometimes they may lose sight of that federalism principle.
Sure.
Or local control. And so with 5G, we're different than a lot of cities in the state. There are cities in the state of Georgia that desperately need broadband and access to small cell technology, and they probably won't get it for a long time simply because of the lack of density and the lack of customers. And so what they need from a statewide perspective to encourage that technology in their areas is a lot different than those of us in the metro Atlanta area. Alpharetta, Sandy Springs, the city of Atlanta, Marietta has a 5G ordinance. What local governments have tried to do, at least those that are proactive and really trying to attract this technology, were proactive. We spent $33,000 in legal fees last year, worked with Georgia Municipal Association. We invited our local state legislators, all of the big players in technology here. We had the AT&T, the Verizons, the Zayos, you know, the fiber providers. we went through a six-month-plus process and came up with an ordinance that we thought made sense, that encouraged development of small cell 5G technology and yet gave us enough local control to make sure they weren't putting 50-foot telephone poles in every yard in Windward or anywhere else for that matter. I mean, you've got to have some reasonable limits. Unfortunately, a few weeks ago, all of a sudden a bill popped up, and it took that local control away. There were very few limitations that had not already been imposed by the federal FCC regulations. And there were some things that if the FCC regulations on the federal level struck down might benefit some of the communities. But there were things in there that were very offensive to us on the local level who appreciate the fact that it is our residents' property. And we should have some control over where these things go and how many should be in the right-of-ways and things like that. And so there have been some pretty sharp elbows thrown over the past few weeks. We had a frustration of, you know, if we were private property owners, we're not. We're public property owners. The public paid for that property, and they should have control over it. It would be a taking, a constitutional taking. They could never take that right-of-way and take control of that right-of-way away from Wellstar Hospital,
right,
or Georgia Power, or you know, a company like that. And yet, because we're local governments, some reason they think that they're better prepared to dictate how those properties should be used for our residents. And we've got a simple disagreement on that end.
Well, that's still in process
to
see how that plays out. But, you know, I guess I'm coming at it from a business person's point of view. I mean, and particularly the technology industry, everybody wants 5G.
Absolutely. That's why we went through the whole process last year.
Right. So I think I can hear the other side of this argument saying, "Hey, we're just bringing you 5G. This is a necessary part of bringing this technology."
Well, I'll put it like this. The lobbyists who sat down at the table to draw up this bill were only representing two companies. AT&T and Verizon lobbyists met with GMA, Georgia Municipal Association lobbyists, and they met with lobbyists for the county's commissioners. And they all hammered out this thing. There's a lot of other vendors at play, and that legislation doesn't necessarily help the fiber providers or some of the other industries. And quite frankly, one of our challenges was, I remember when we publicly discussed it at a council meeting, one of the lobbyists for Verizon, I believe it was, protested that our ordinance did not charge fees for being in our right-of-way. And I asked to clarify, are you really saying that you're complaining because we're not charging fees? Now, why would they want us to charge fees?
Makes it harder for smaller companies.
If you don't have billions of dollars of capital in stock, it makes it harder. So I think there's things we can do on a local level that actually promote capitalism rather than inhibit it.
Promotes competition, which is good for everyone.
Absolutely.
Except big established providers.
Perhaps.
Right. Switching gears just in general, I mean, the last time you were here, you were newly minted. I mean, you were newly minted mayor, right? And I'm curious as to what you mentioned, a couple things that have been surprises for you relative to kind of what you thought. But talk about that journey and what you've learned being mayor that maybe has surprised you positively or negatively.
There's been a little of both.
Sure.
Overall, it's been tremendously positive because, you know, until you've been elected mayor, and there's only been a handful of us in the city of Alpharetta that as long as I've been here, you really don't know what to expect. You watch. I had a tremendous opportunity to watch Mayor Belisle for 7 years and see how he led this city, how he managed his business, and he did a lot of great things and set a great example in a lot of different ways. But you really just don't know until you step into that office. And the first surprise was it wasn't as overwhelming as I thought, mostly because I had had that chance. I'd been on council for 7 years, so I saw what it took from David, a lot of it, at least publicly. And our staff just does such a great job. So it wasn't overwhelming in that sense. The sheer volume of things going on in the city of Alpharetta has probably been the biggest challenge, and I don't know how Mayor Belial was able to manage it. I guess it was like a duck where he was just paddling like heck behind the scenes, and you couldn't see it above the water.
Sure.
For him to have run a thriving law practice and maintain a full-time job like that and run a business and do what was required of him as mayor was quite impressive, and even more so as someone who sits in that seat now. And having to say no to things that you really would like to do. There's just too many invitations. There's too many events, and sometimes you just have to say no, even though, man, you'd love to be there for that one. I can't be at this ribbon cutting because I've got to be over at this DOT meeting or something. But overall, we're blessed in this area because we're not having the same conversations as so many communities around the world. You know, how are we going to pay our policemen?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
So they're good problems to have in the grand scheme of things.
Blessed with that.
One of the things that strikes me, though, Jim, is even relative to Mayor Belial, you are confronting issues, you and this current council are confronting issues that you really can't go back and necessarily look at a past playbook for,
right?
Because there's been so much growth, there's been so many changes that you're really operating without a playbook in a way, relative to other cities where the growth's a little more casual and leisurely relative to what it's been in Alpharetta.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a blessing.
Mm.
You know, it changed a lot over the 7 years of Mayor Belial's tenure. When we were sworn into office, it was a recession. We had major employers that had pulled out, you know, millions of vacant office space at the time. And so we did a creative job of working together and rebuilding that economy, and the global economy is revived, and it's all played out very well for us. But you're right. Now we're still not to the point where we're just playing defense and maintaining, because we've got tremendous opportunities all over the city still. So we don't want to lose sight of that. But we do have to start being more thoughtful about managing all of this, and how do we manage the costs of maintaining so much more infrastructure, and infrastructure that's under such a great burden now as opposed to what it was 8, 10, 15 years ago. So it is different. We're kind of playing some of it by ear. But the great thing is we've got good leadership. We've got thoughtful people. We've got great staff that are working on it who provide us with the right information to make good decisions. And because of the growth and the development, we also have some of the resources that are going to be necessary to do that.
Good stuff from Jim Gilvin. He's the mayor of the city of Alpharetta. Some days I think you may be holding on for dear life. There's so much going on, right? It's a white-knuckle ride.
It is an up-and-down one.
To see if you could stay on for 7 seconds, right? Because it's been something else here. But if you can pull out your crystal ball for a second, most questions are all around what's happening at the moment. But I'm just curious, we open the curtain up in 5 years. What do you think we're going to see? I mean, what's out there that you're looking at? Because part of the success has been being visionary and looking ahead. So what do you see out there that maybe we need to be paying attention to?
I think solving the transportation issues is going to be the biggest change in the next 5 to 7 years. I mean, the Georgia Department of Transportation intends to have the Georgia 400 flex lanes finished in 5 or 6 years. Once again, if you can move in North Fulton at 45 miles an hour, it's a different environment in so many ways. If you've got transit that can move from North Springs to Wynnewood Parkway in 10 minutes, it changes a lot of the dynamics for attracting talent, for retaining talent, things like that. So I think that's going to be different. there will be more growth and there'll be more development. We're talking about 50% capacity increase on the major corridor north and south. So I think that's going to have a huge impact. I think some of the things locally that we're having the impact are, in addition to the arterial roads that we're working on to support some of that, is the redevelopment of the North Point Corridor is going to be critical. That'll be as critical to the future of the city long term as anything else we do over the next 5 years. We got a great start. I like the plan that's there. As long as we can encourage and continue to partner with those property owners to make it something we're proud of, not just something that was fiscally efficient at the time, then it's going to be exciting in the ways that you see some of the areas in Atlanta becoming so attractive to people again that weren't at one point. So I think those are two critical ones. And I think the other major one is, I talked a little bit last week about balance, because I really believe that that is what makes Alpharetta difference. We have a balance of a great place to live, a great place to live and raise a family, and a great place to build a business. There's a lot of cities around Georgia and the world that can do one, maybe two of those. Very few of them can do them all that well. And so as long as we continue to build a city that, with that in mind, our goal is to retain that perfect balance of a great place to live and raise a family and to build a business, we're going to be successful no matter what we do. And I think part of that is to continue to build and protect our green spaces. We're extending the greenway. We've acquired more than 30 acres of green space because as more and more privately owned land is being developed and we lose more of the tree canopy, it's becoming more and more important for us as a city government to protect and reserve and develop and give access to our community. And so we've been doing that. We've got a plan to continue developing parks within a 10-minute walk of every neighborhood in the city of Alpharetta, thanks to Councilman Binder. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're going to do. I hope we'll evolve in a way that makes the great things about Alpharetta even better and continues to preserve some of that green space and that small town southern charm in an environment that hosts 700 to 800 technology companies.
A big plate to manage, City of Alpharetta Mayor Jim Gilvin. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, John.
Yeah, great. Folks, one little piece of housekeeping that I want to mention. If you need help, and we all need help, curing headaches of administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, presentations, workshops, what have you, well, there's a firm called Office Angels, and they've got a bunch of angels that will swoop right in and solve your problems. They're not a temp agency or placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms and your timeline, they lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job's done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel, S.E. Escobedo. I love that title. 770-442-9246. I want to thank again Mayor Jim Gilvin, City of Alpharetta, for being with us. And I'm John Ray, your host. Join us next time for another edition of North Fulton Business Radio.